Okay, let's get into this. For today's deep dive, we have just a phenomenal piece of source material.
It really is.
It's Rich Marchetti III's Year in Review 2025, and it's so personal, so reflective.
It's much more than just a list of events, right? It's like you're reading an emotional map of a year that was just completely transformed.
Yeah, structure meeting chaos. That's what it feels like.
And what's amazing is how clearly he sees it himself. He says right up front that 2025 was the year his life didn't just change, it reorganized itself around one person.
His son, Miles, born June 12th.
Exactly. So our mission here is to really trace that journey. We're going to pull apart the source material and see how these huge, life-altering milestones, a birth, a wedding, are all propped up by these tiny personal moments that got them through it all.
Through what he calls the chaos and the bliss. I love that.
Me too.
And the way he structures it by season is perfect for us. We can literally track his priorities shifting in real time.
From this, highly social, hobby-driven life
The baseline.
to a life that's all about family and, frankly, exhaustion. So should we dive in?
Let's do it. Winter, the starting point.
January to March. This really is the
Yeah,
baseline.
absolutely. If you wanted to define an active, organized life, this is the blueprint.
Social connection is like a top priority.
He kicks off January with the first quarterly Discord summit in New York City.
And these are not just casual meetups. These are planned events.
Totally. Playing pool, exploring Brooklyn, and he mentions getting K-pot.
And that's a great detail for anyone who doesn't know. K-pot is Korean BBQ and hot pot. It's a big communal, high-energy thing to do with friends.
It establishes the whole rhythm of his life before the baby. It's all about structured social time.
And it's not just social. He's traveling for work client training in San Diego
But he doesn't just go for work. He leverages that trip to make a personal stop in Utah.
to see his cousin Vlad and his aunt.
Yeah, and he fits in winter hiking near hot springs. I mean, the guy is maximizing every single minute.
It shows a real confidence in his ability to stack commitments, work, travel, deep family connection, all in one go.
Then February is a little quieter.
A little. Still, you get these moments, Valentine's Day pizza at home, buying a new monitor.
But then he's off to Boston with his brother Lee to see Jack White.
These feel like the last sort of perfectly distilled moments of that kind of freedom.
March just ramps right back up again.
At full throttle.
It's all about his existing world. Janice's birthday at a French restaurant, expanding his iPod and Pokemon card collection.
Which are very specific, established hobbies.
Right. And his mom throws this huge 60th surprise party for his dad.
All of these are, traditional family anchors. And his hobbies are just as intense. The Big East tournament in Madison Square Garden.
With Joe Grogan, yeah. And then a full in-person Dungeons and Dragons weekend at his friend Tom's house.
This is a life that isn't just full, it's packed with rituals that define who he is.
But then there's the shift.
The first crack in that foundation.
He mentions seeing the more detailed ultrasound pictures of Miles. And that's when, as he puts it, the change started to feel very real.
That's the moment. That's
Yeah.
when the internal clock just completely resets. All that structured, predictable life, the summits, the hobbies, it suddenly has a hard deadline. That image makes the whole thing tangible.
The ultimate non-negotiable deadline, which takes us straight into spring.
The runway.
April to June. He's on the runway and it feels frantic. He's preparing, but also trying to have these like last hurrahs.
Exactly. April has another Discord summit, this time in Boston.
Stays at his friend Dylan's place. They see a movie, go to what he calls an awesome mini golf place.
He's keeping the ritual going, even with everything else happening. It shows how much he needs that sense of closure on his old life.
And then a week-long trip to Canada to visit Janice's family.
Which is all about shoring up that support network, getting the foundations ready.
May becomes the logistics month, but he even makes that feel special.
Right, picking up the stroller and car seat isn't just an errand. They make a day of it, go to a diner for breakfast.
Oh, but the real heart of May is that solo week he gets, watching the dogs at his parents' house.
That's a huge moment of reflection for him. He visits his brother's new house. His friend Tom comes to visit.
And he labels it. He calls it his last week of freedom before fatherhood.
That phrase says so much. He understands the autonomy he's about to lose, even as he's excited for the change. It's a conscious goodbye to his old self.
But May also has this other incredibly important moment.
Oh, this is crucial. He picked up Janice's engagement ring.
The one she designed herself. And he gives it to her over dinner in the city.
The timing on that is just perfect.
Why then, though, in the middle of all that final prep?
Because the partnership has to be rock solid before the storm hits.
Yeah.
A new baby, it just naturally pulls all the energy towards it.
So this was about them.
Exactly. By giving her the ring she designed, he's reinforcing their team. They're creating this new foundation right before it gets tested in ways they can't even imagine.
That is brilliant timing. So then June is the final countdown.
The S&O bassinet arrives. The bedroom's ready.
And he mentions their last pre-baby date. They go back to the Italian spot in Brooklyn where they first started dating.
Such a beautiful full circle moment.
And there's one more piece of closure.
The Lego typewriter. I find this so symbolic.
He says it was the toughest set that I've put together to date.
Think about that. For a guy who values structure and completion, finishing his most difficult, detail-oriented project right before starting the most chaotic, unpredictable project of his life.
Raising a child.
It's like he needed to prove to himself that he could master one complex system before giving himself over to a chaotic one.
Mastery achieved. And then June 12th.
The new chapter begins. Miles arise. 6 pounds, 6 ounces.
And after a C-section and a full day of labor for Janice, he just calls it a beautiful experience.
The runway ends, the boot camp begins.
Summer, and boot camp is the perfect term for it.
The whole narrative shifts here. It goes from planning and control to just raw adjustment, survival mode.
The biggest thing he points to is having paternity leave in July. He says it made a huge, huge difference.
Well, of course. It's dedicated time to bond and adapt without the pressure of work.
And July is his birthday month, so they try to bridge the old life with the new. They manage one really great date night.
The omakase sushi place. An elaborate multi-course meal.
He says it was like their Japan trip. It's a clear attempt to hold on to that part of themselves.
But the whiplash is immediate. You read about that amazing dinner, and the very next sentence is the reality check.
That the rest of the month was just adjustment and many sleepless nights.
Reading those two sentences back to back is jarring. It shows you the insane contrast between the effort it takes to get one moment of bliss and the relentless nature of having a newborn.
Yeah, that contrast is everything. The highs are higher, but they're immediately followed by these humbling lows.
August is all about integrating Miles into the wider family. Lots of travel back and forth to Connecticut.
They even take him on some small adventures, rides at local fairs.
These are like the first tentative steps of being a family out in the world, testing the waters.
And a simple walk on the Rockaway Beach Pier. Which sounds simple, but was probably a huge undertaking.
Oh, for sure. Then by September, he says they're settling further into our new rhythm.
That's a key phrase. It's a shift from just reacting to actually creating a routine.
And they're consciously making time for spectacular dinner dates. They know they have to nurture the partnership.
And we see a little bit of normal life creep back in, a new iPhone and Apple Watch Ultra.
Right, little tokens of the adult world.
But the biggest sign that they're finding their feet is the welcome party.
And this wasn't just a small get-together.
No, it was a huge party at his parents' house. Catered Italian and Guyanese food, a huge tent, lawn games, mini golf.
The scale of that is so important for you, the listener, to understand. This isn't a story of two people struggling in isolation.
Not at all.
This huge event with the amazing turnout he mentions shows that their whole village showed up for them. It's a direct result of the strong social foundation they built back in the winter.
That support is incredible. So by the time fall rolls around, they're moving with a new kind of confidence.
Yeah, in the fall, he says they were finally getting our footing.
And you can see it. Miles isn't just a baby they're taking care of. He's part of their adventures now.
October is really ambitious. Park trips with Miles, and then this big Vermont trip for leaf peeping.
And that Vermont trip is the real test, isn't it?
It's the final exam of the boot camp. It's not just the three of them. It's five people. Rich, Janice, Miles, and both sets of grandparents.
Wow.
A week-long trip with an infant and two sets of grandparents? That takes some serious organizational confidence.
And he notes that Miles morphed into a pumpkin, which is just great. They're already building him into their traditions.
Exactly. And then, like, the wedding.
I find the timing and the style of this so telling.
Me too. They get married on Halloween at Queen City Hall.
Followed by a simple dinner with their parents. He loved the atmosphere, with people in costumes and kids trick-or-treating.
Just think about that for a second. The biggest event of the year, Miles's birth, was chaotic, intense, and completely involuntary.
Right.
The second biggest milestone, their wedding, was intentional, quiet, and just.
Yeah.
Charmingly casual.
They stripped away all the spectacle.
Because the baby's arrival had already redefined what monumental meant to them. They were already a family. This was just making it official.
That's a great way to put it. November was quieter, just family time and Thanksgiving. But December. December brings that whiplash back.
It really does. You have a big win. Miles starts swimming.
But then it underscores the new vulnerability of being a parent. Rich goes on a work trip, a hackathon in Chicago.
A little piece of his old professional self.
Then he gets sick. But then Miles gets sick for the first time.
And the word he uses is harrowing.
That word just captures it all, doesn't it? That intense fear when your focus is no longer on your own schedule, but on the health of this tiny, fragile person.
It's the ultimate shift from self-control to external vulnerability.
But thankfully, the year doesn't end there. It ends on a light note.
A Steam Deck for Christmas.
A little piece of his old hobby life shining through. A sign that balance is still possible, just different.
So when you synthesize the whole year, 2025 wasn't about one single thing. It was defined by what he calls the pileup of everything.
And all of it was transformed by Miles.
Everything. Routines, priorities, his whole sense of time. He says life didn't get simpler, but it got fuller.
Profoundly fuller. The highs were higher. The wedding. The birth.
But the hard parts, like when Miles got sick, were truly humbling. Genuinely scary.
I think what resonates most with me is the gratitude he expresses for watching Janice become a mom, for becoming a dad.
And for those small moments, the dinners, the meetups.
He has this one final reflection that I think is the ultimate proof of the shift. He says the quiet moments started to feel a lot louder in a good way.
That's it right there. The value of simple togetherness just skyrocketed.
That shift in perception is really the key takeaway for you, the listener, isn't it?
It has to be. He started 2025 with this clear idea of success, right? Quarterly summits, finishing his toughest Lego set.
All this intentional, structured achievement.
And it was all instantly rewritten by one involuntary, monumental event. He went from valuing the complexity he could master to valuing the simplicity he could barely hold on to.
So what does that mean for us? This deep dive really makes you think about how quickly your own measure of a good day can change. When your priority shifts from, you know, a promotion or finishing a project to just making sure your family is okay or managing to have one quiet dinner together, how does that force you to reevaluate the goals you've set for yourself?
Do those old metrics even matter when the definition of success completely changes on you without your permission?
That's the question to carry forward. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.
We'll catch you on the next one.